ISO.org is the premier online Bible school developed by Perry Stone. ISO.org has dozens of courses, hundreds of lessons, and thousands of students all over the world. Sign up today.
Welcome to Manifest, hosted by international evangelist, teacher, and author Perry Stone. Enjoy unique insight into prophetic and practical truth. It's time to feast on fresh manna, so get ready to be blessed and encouraged. And now, here is your host and teacher, Perry Stone.
Manifest is coming to you from the Mediterranean Sea, from the area of Caesarea, which is a maritime city. We've done several tapings here, but it was such a beautiful day today, and the wind is very gentle. Usually it's very heavy here. And so much happened here through history, but I'm going to focus this telecast on something that's very important, and we're going to deal with heaven's best kept secrets. Heaven's best kept secret. The Apostle Paul said that there were mysteries hid in God from the foundation of the world that were made known to him. Now, we know that part of those mysteries, one was the catching away of the church in 1 Thessalonians 4:16 through 17. We know that one of those dealt with the mystery of the resurrection of the dead in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We know that another mystery dealt with the two olive trees, the wild tree, which was the Gentiles, and the natural tree, which was Israel, Romans chapter 11. The mystery of Christ and the church. And there were so many types of mysteries that were hidden in God from the foundation of the world. And it's interesting because I was thinking one day, why were these particular things that we know in Scripture hidden from the time of Adam all the way through the time of Moses to the time of the prophets Isaiah and Jeremiah, Haggai, Malachi, who was the last prophet before the appearance of John the Baptist, which was 400 years later. I mean, why were these things hidden from the foundation of the world? Paul talked about that to the intent that now the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be made known the manifold wisdom of God. It appears that there were things that God wanted to hide from what we call the kingdom of darkness. And Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 talks about principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, wicked spirits in heavenly places. So it appears that there were things that were hidden from Satan. Now, why would God want to hide it from Satan, who is his adversary? I think that answer is summed up in another verse that we read about in the Bible, and I'm going to paraphrase it. It talks about the crucifixion of Christ. And the Apostle Paul wrote that if the princes of the world would have known, they would have never crucified the Lord of glory. And in the context of what he wrote there, if you go back and look at it, he's talking about if the princes of the world would have known, or Satan would have known, that his defeat was going to come through the death, burial, and resurrection of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, he would have never allowed him to be crucified. He would have never allowed that final ultimate sacrifice to take place. And I was thinking one day about how that God waited until the time of Christ, the resurrection of Christ, or after Christ had ascended to heaven, to make known certain mysteries. One of the mysteries that was hidden in God from the foundation of the earth is a mystery that some people in the body of Christ, especially in North America, don't believe in. Now, they've got the prerogative to believe or not believe what they want, but if you can prove from the Bible that something is going to take place or happen, then you're obligated to believe what the Word of God says. Now, not necessarily someone's interpretation, but what the Word itself says. And the one thing that I find, and I have taught on this for years, and I have been very criticized for teaching on this subject for years, I have been called a devil, I've been called a heretic, I have been called a false teacher, I have been called a false prophet, and yet, when I begin to teach this from the Bible, nobody can counter the explanations that I give you from the Jewish perspective and from the New Testament. They can disagree with it, they can holler about it, and they can throw all these proof text scriptures in that are taken out of the context. But as far as trying to disprove it, you can't. And that is the teaching of the rapture. Well, I don't believe in that because the Word's not in the Bible. I've got a manifest telecast in 2020. We're going to cover that. Well, I don't believe in that because of this. I don't believe in that because, okay. it doesn't matter what you're saying to me about not believing in the rapture. I believe in it. I had a man write me and he said, you're going to stand before God one day and God's going to look at you and rebuke you in front of people to say you were a heretic. You taught the coming of the Christ and you taught the rapture and it wasn't real. I said, yep. Sure enough, God is going to have me stand in front of Him and rebuke me one day for telling people to repent and live right that Jesus is coming back. Now, the verse I want to give some of you is this. There shall come scoffers in the last days, walking after their own lust, saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers have slept, everything has remained the same. My friend, that's the verse that would frighten me. Because it's one thing to simply say, I disagree in the timing of the return of the Lord, whether it's pre or mid or post. And I don't argue that with people. I have my belief based on the scriptures I have researched, but I'm not going to argue that with people. But when people simply say, there is no return of the Lord for the church, and one day Jesus is just going to come back and set up His kingdom, I have to stop and differ with that. Because I want to say something to you. Are you ready for this? The best kept secret of heaven is when the Lord's going to return. The Bible says this. Jesus is the one that's made this statement. When He talked about His return, He said, no man knoweth the day nor the hour. No, not even the angels, but my Father only. When Jesus was on this planet walking and ministering, there was only one person that knew the day and the hour that He would send Christ back to earth and catch the people away and return again. And that was the Heavenly Father. And I do believe, honestly, that even to this day in the heavenlies, where Christ is called the high priest of the profession of our faith, I believe that it is still a mystery that's hid by the Heavenly Father. Now, I'm thinking about this one day. I'm sitting at my desk there in Cleveland at my office, and I'm saying to myself, self, Perry, why would God hide the day and the hour that Christ would return? And so I begin to meditate on this, and I realize something. That if the day and the hour of Christ's return would have been known from the beginning of time, because Christ was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, and Enoch the seventh from Adam prophesied the Lord was coming back with 10,000s of His saints, and that's before the Lord ever was born that Enoch said that. And I said to myself, why would God hide it? And it has to do with angels. Now, I want you to track with me for just a moment. If God would have revealed at the beginning of time before the creation of Adam that one day a Messiah would come and would return again on a specific day, Satan, before he fell, would have known the day and the hour. Let's go a step further. If the day and hour were known in heaven and written in a book, then what is written in that book could be known and made public to the host of heaven. Let me give you an example. When Satan, the Bible says, saw Job, he walked around his property and realized that Job had a hedge. He tried to penetrate that hedge and could not. And when Satan, who is the accuser of the brethren in Revelation chapter 12, before God, day and night, went into the heavenly chamber where angels meet. It says it this way in Job. There was a day when the sons of God came before the throne of God and Satan came with them. And God said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? And Satan said, yes, I've considered him. You have put a hedge around him because I've tried to get into it. I've tried to penetrate it. And you know what? He's afraid of cursing you, and if you take that hedge down, he'll curse you, I'll guarantee it. Now watch. Satan knew who Job was. Satan knew the wealth that Job had. He knew who his children were. He knew who his wife was. He knew who his servants were. He knew that Job made a sacrifice, Job 1:5, consistently actually, for fear that his children had cursed God. Satan had earthly information and was presenting that earthly information in the court of heaven. And the God of heaven already knew about Job, who was living on earth, and even acknowledged that Job had a hedge. Now, this indicates to me that angelic beings know information. In 2 Chronicles 18, when the Lord was going to set up Ahab. God was going to set up Ahab to go to battle and be slain in the battle. The scripture says that the host of heaven stood on the left side and the right side of the throne of God. And God said to the host, which were angels, angelic beings, spirit beings, who will go and make Ahab fall at Ramoth-Gilead in battle. And one angel came and said, I can do this. And another being said, no, I can go and do this. And one came and said, I can go and deceive his prophets into convincing him to go to battle. And the Lord said, do that. And the angels made a plan in heaven to fulfill a purpose of God on the earth. So heaven knows purposes. Heaven knows plans. Let's go a step further based on Job chapter 1 and chapter 2. Satan knows information in heaven. How do we know that? Revelation 12. He is the accuser, that means a slanderer, before God day and night to accuse the brethren. So he has information on earth that is given to him in heaven. When God took those angels of Sodom and Gomorrah, and it says the Lord came back with two angels and came down to Abraham, God said, I'm going to come from heaven down to earth and send two angels, because in the mouth of every two or three witnesses, every word is established. And I am going to see if the cry in Sodom and Gomorrah is confirmed by two angels, because in the mouth of two or three, every word is established. And God sent that, watch, because he said the cry of Sodom had reached heaven. Now, what I want to show you is we've got two things going on here. We've got the earthly, and then we have the heavenly. And so what happens in the heavenly, thy will be done, God, on earth as it is in heaven. What happens in the heavenlies is manifested on the earth, and God uses many times angels to manifest his purpose and his will, or to reveal his purpose and his will. Daniel chapter 10, Gabriel comes back with an entire revelation and gives it to Daniel. And two chapters in the book of Daniel, chapter 10, the latter part, chapter 11 and 12, are one entire revelation that one angel came, that God sent the information from heaven to the earth. And then when there are things that are happening on earth, Christ said, Lord, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. So he's praying that in the garden on earth, and the Father is hearing in heaven. The Father sends an angel out of heaven down to the earth and tells Christ, there's 12 legions of angels standing here on standby. I call it angels on standby, in case you don't want to go through with this and do what my will is. And of course, Christ went through with it and did the will of the Father. The reason that the teaching, now I'm going to use an English word. It is a theological word. No, it's not in the Bible, but the concept is, I could call it the gathering together. I could call it the catching away, but I'm using a term that people around the world are familiar with, rapture. It is when the living saints are changed from mortal to immortality at the return of Christ in the air, and we are caught up to meet him in the air. And at the same time, before that happens to us, the dead in Christ rise first, and then they are resurrected, given a glorified body. So the rapture is a moment of when we are caught up. 1 Thessalonians 4, we shall be caught up together in them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Okay, that event, call it whatever you want, the day and the hour it happens has been hidden with God from the foundation of the world. And it has to do with never revealing it to an angel so that Satan would never know when it's going to happen. So in other words, it's about several things. To conceal this great secret of heaven, to conceal this great secret I'm talking about right now, there's a reason for it. Number one, the secret of the coming of Christ for his bride or for the church is concealed so that, number one, Satan and no angel, no principality will know when it's going to take place. Number two, the Bible says if we have this hope of his coming, we purify ourselves. I'm going to make a statement here, and it's going to sound a little harsh to some people. But in my observation, and I'm not saying this about everyone, I'm not saying this about every minister, I'm only making an observation of something I have seen that can be a little troubling. If you believe that the Lord could come at any moment, let me tell you what you have. You have a continual repentant heart and spirit, or a humble spirit. You're not arrogant, you're not proud, and you always humble yourself. And then if you say something wrong or do something wrong, you're quick to repent of that because you know the Lord could return. I have met people who do not believe in the coming of the Lord, that it's going to happen, and they put it off to 100 years or 5,000 years. The thing I see with these individuals, not all, but many times, is that they live a very careless life and sort of a I don't care life, and I call it sloppy, you know, one of the Greek words for love is agape. I call it sloppy agape or greasy grace. And it's like they do what they want, when they want, how they want. It doesn't matter because they really don't believe the Lord's going to come for a long, long, long time, or if it's going to come at all. God hid the coming of Christ to a specific day and hour that we would not know for the purpose of us living for Him and every day having the hope. And he that has the hope does what? Purifies himself. Now we know it's the blood of Christ that purifies us from all unrighteousness. But by purifying ourselves, what it means is to keep the things out of our life that would defile us. And so you tend to, and I think all the believers who believe in the rapture tend to not be people who are laying around waiting for some escapism to happen. It's not the issue. But they are people, watch this, who give better than most other people do because they believe the Lord's coming and they want to participate in the end time harvest. I had a man say this to me one time. He's very sincere. He's a friend. He said, you know, the reason I don't have a lot of people in my church preaching on the coming of the Lord is I think it scares people. I'm afraid people are going to hold on to their money. What are you going to hold on to your money for when the Lord's coming? I mean, why do you want to hold on to it? For me, for example, knowing that the time of the end is coming and knowing that the Lord is coming, I want to be faithful with what I have. There's parables that talk about the master or the owner of the vineyard or the house or the estate gave his servants money to invest it, and the one that hid the money is the one that had it taken from him and was rebuked and cast into outer darkness. And the ones that took the money and invested it and multiplied the Lord's money were blessed. So the person that's using what they have for God, according to the parables of Jesus, will have more because they're using what he has, and he wants to give them more to multiply it more for the harvest and for souls and for the kingdom of God. And the people who just are holding back, and I'm going to say it again, the ones who tend to believe, and this, I'm just giving you my personal example from people I've met for thousands of people I've met for many years, is that if they believe the Lord's coming, they tend to be more liberal in their giving. You know why? Because they want a reward in heaven, and they want that money to be used for the end time harvest. So this idea that people that believe in the rapture are, you know, are holed up somewhere in a cave waiting for the tribulation to come, it's not true. Those who believe are excited about the return of the Lord. And I've heard people have told me this for years. A lot of them have been ministers. Well, when I grew up around people who kind of sat around waiting for the Lord to come. Well, see, that's not the Lord's problem that people act that way. That's a pulpit problem. Because the Bible said, occupy until I come. Now, here's what I want to tell you. I believe the Lord could come at any moment. I believe He can come, and He's going to come when He's ready. All right? However, I am not going to sit around and wait for it. I'm not going to sit around and talk about how bad things are going to get. I am going to occupy, and that Greek word means do business till He gets here. Because the bottom line is, in the day and hour that you think not, the Son of Man is going to come. So there's two keys here. Number one, nobody knows the day or the hour, and don't waste your time buying books or DVDs or CD albums of somebody who has this revelation that Jesus is coming, because if the Father wouldn't tell Jesus, the Father's not going to tell you. We do, however, know the times and the seasons. We will be able to discern the signs. We will be able to discern the signs of the times. We will be able to discern the spiritual seasons so that we are not, this is what Paul said, we are not in darkness, believers are not, so that the day overtakes them unaware. Now, we don't know the day or the hour, but if we're following Him, we'll be ready. We'll not be surprised. So I want you to understand that the greatest mystery that's hidden God to this day in the scroll, in the mind of God, not even written in the books of heaven, but in the mind of God, is the day and hour of Christ's return. And you know, it's going to be a glorious day because the church represents His bride, and Christ is the bridegroom. This is even in the parable of the 10 virgins. And so one day, the bridegroom is going to come for His bride, and we're going to have a marriage supper of the Lamb in heaven with Him and all of the dead in Christ that have been raised and all of the living saints of the ages that have been caught up to meet Him. And these are things we can look forward to. Now, I'm not going to argue, and I literally get every week books, and I get manuscripts, and I get people that have just spent hours working on something to convince me, number one, there's not a rapture. Number two, that Jesus is not coming pre-trib. It has to be either mid or post. And sometimes I'm amillennialist, and sometimes preterist, and sometimes people who don't believe anything's going to happen. Now, I do not say this in a boasting way. I say this humbly before God. I literally have over 170,000 hours of Bible study, and so many, I mean, I can't even tell you the hours that have been spent studying the return of the Lord. And I believe after all this time, He's coming. I believe He's coming to catch away the saints, raise the dead in Christ. And I believe He's coming before the great and terrible day of the Lord and before the wrath of God is released on the earth. Are we going to see things happen that we know we're coming toward it? Yes. Will things get bad? Sure. Will they be perilous times? Absolutely. Will people depart from the faith? He said they would. But I'm telling you, don't ever lose hope in the return of the Lord. So here's my point. Keep a repentant heart. Keep a repentant spirit. Stay humble before God. If you do something wrong, be quick to repent. And always ask God to keep you under the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, to keep you following Him no matter what. And when He comes, you'll hear that trumpet sound. I hope that some of the things I've said, and just kind of, this is more of an exhortation than just a teaching, has encouraged you today to continue on with the Lord. I'm coming to some great places in the very near future, and at the end of the program, we'll tell you where we're going to be coming to minister. But I have written some new books and got some new CDs and DVDs. And listen, I spend weeks and months sometimes researching this so that you can benefit personally from it. So watch the program and stay tuned to the Manifest Telecast coming to you. 80 degrees, slight breeze on the Mediterranean right here in Israel. Our special offer is significant. Right now, there has been more interest in the book of Revelation called the Apocalypse than there has been in the history, to my knowledge, of Christianity in the United States. People are saying, is this in the book of Revelation? Are the viruses, the earthquakes, the locusts, is this a part of what preachers have told us for years, the time of the end? And the answer is yes. What I did, I have in my hand an album that has seven DVDs, not CDs, but DVDs with charts, maps, scriptures, and detail, which is a study of the entire book of Revelation from chapter 1 all the way to the Amen in chapter 22. Here are some of the DVDs. The Apocalypse Code and the Heavenly Temple, the Heavenly Throne Room, the Priesthood and the Beginning of the Tribulation, the Two Witnesses, the Bema, the Dragon, and the Kingdom of the Beast. Here's another one. The Islamic Antichrist, the False Prophet, and the Empire of the Beast. Another one is the Mysterious Mark 666, the Mysterious Woman, and Mystery Babylon. And here's a great one. The Millennial Code, the 1,000-year reign of Christ on earth as King. We also have one when Satan is bound and heaven comes down. It took me years of putting the outline together. It took me years of doing the Greek word studies, the historical studies, and studies from the early fathers. So you actually are getting a Bible school teaching here. And so I want to make the Apocalypse Code available to you right now at a very special price. Now remember, these are seven DVDs. This is about 14 hours of teaching, and we want to make it available at a special price of $75. It will come in this beautiful album. And also, when you get it, you're going to get an extra DVD that will be included with this. So you're going to get a total of 8 DVDs. So you can go to perrystone.org, 1-888-21-BREAD, or you can go write me at Perry Stone, P.O. Box 3595, Cleveland, Tennessee, 37320. There's an offer number. You must include that number, and we will know that's what you're ordering. And again, a donation of $75 or more will get you this album, and we will use it for 100% ministry. You're going to learn a lot. Get ready. God bless you.
Hello, I'm Dr. Brian Cutshaw, and I know that you enjoyed that amazing teaching on heaven's best kept secrets, and no one can tell you those kinds of facts like Perry Stone. Well, speaking of Perry Stone, I know that you are also going to enjoy Breaking the Apocalypse Code. Now, if you haven't heard that teaching, you really need to get it. Perry walks you through the book of Revelation chapter by chapter in a way you have never heard it before. I know it is really going to bless you. You can get that at perrystone.org. You can get that and lots of other great information. So we have so many resources there for you. I know that this has been a time of coronavirus and so much anxiety in the world. It kind of reminds me of Psalm chapter 46, where he's describing an earthquake. He says the mountains are being removed and thrown into the sea. But he said in the middle of that, there is a river which flows and makes glad the city of God. And that's exactly what's going on right now. We have two worlds simultaneously moving, two realities, a spiritual reality, and also the reality of this earth. On the earth, things are shaken. Everything that can be shaken, will be shaken. And so we're seeing that all around us, such fear and anxiety, but in the kingdom of God, things are flowing and the city of God is glad and the people of God are glad. So you keep trusting the Lord during this season of anxiety because God is going to come through for you. One of the things you might want to consider is engaging your mind outside the four walls of quarantine. So let me suggest you go to isow.org. That's iso.org, where you're going to find so many Bible studies, so many resources. You're going to find so many outlines, some incredible ways to do study with your family, your church, or just personal Bible study, or just earn a certificate level. You don't want to miss this great opportunity. Let me remind you also that the Israel trip is coming up, and nobody can give you a trip to Israel like Perry Stone. So you're going to want to be involved in that. You're going to hear Perry teaching, and you're going to be with so many other Christians in the land of our Lord. It is going to be a wonderful time. So I know that you and your family want to go ahead and start making plans for that. So there's so many great things going on in the midst of a world of crises. The kingdom is actually thriving. I'm hearing stories every day. More people are hearing the gospel online than have ever heard it before. More people are watching Christian television than ever before. What a tremendous time to be alive. Personally, I think revival is coming to the earth through the lens of a camera. You know, we have to make up our mind right now. When this is over, are we going back to survival or should we be going into revival? Personally, I choose revival. I think the best is yet to come. And I think God's people are going to see an outpouring of God's Spirit because of all the word that's going out and all the prayers that are going out. So keep praying for this ministry. Please know that we are praying for you. Our prayer partners are calling out your names every time you send in prayer requests. God bless you. We love you here at Perry Stone Ministries, and we hope to see you again here at Manifest. God bless you.
Perry Stone invites you to join him for his 2020 Israel tour. The dates are November 23rd through December 2nd with an optional visit to Petra in the country of Jordan. Call 1-888-321-3629 or visit perrystone.org for more information and how to register. Seating is limited, so call today.
Expand your understanding of Scripture. Advance your effectiveness in ministry. Earn certification for your knowledge of the Bible. International School of the Word. Developed by Perry Stone and Dr. Brian Cutshaw, ISO.org is the premier online Bible school with dozens of courses, hundreds of lessons, and thousands of students all over the world. Sign up for one of our exciting, affordable Bible courses and begin your journey at ISO.org today.